didn't have that in the world. I wasn't so conflicted when I was in the world. So he said in verse 9, for I was alive without the law once. I enjoyed life. I really did what I wanted to do. But when the commandment came, guess what? Sin revived, and I realized I got to die. And the commandment, which was ordained to life, I found it to be unto death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, it deceived me, and by it, it slew me. Let me tell you, and it's in my notes later, and I may have to repeat it, but he said that thine own wickedness shall correct thee. He said, if you want to rebel, you can do that, but your own wickedness will correct thee. And he says, these laws are not given for terror. They're given for those that are lawless, the outlaw. So what we see from these scriptures is that the operations of God, when done with no anesthesia, causes pain and conflict. And I still feel it. And I still want it. And I still desire it. Adam might have been the only man to get what he wanted without going through any pain. But look what happened. You might recall that the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. How many of you recall? He made a covenant with Abraham. It's an everlasting covenant. Abraham was the beginning of the Jews, but he was the beginning of something called circumcision. And my Bible says that when Abraham circumcised himself, he was 90 years old and he sharpened a rock. He was wide awake because he did it himself. Adam was put to sleep. He didn't feel nothing and he didn't appreciate what he went through. But Lord, oh, Abraham did. I read that tonight and I was reading and how that the Lord told him, you're going to circumcise yourself. And he looked at Sarah and I'm going to quicken your womb and you're going to have a child. And I said, wait a minute, God, he had to circumcise himself and you're just going to quicken her womb? That don't seem fair to me. And so here's this 90-year-old man sharpening himself a rock and he's going to go through pure misery. He's going to lie, I don't do this again. So what we see is that this is circumcision of the flesh. In the New Testament, it's called circumcision of the heart. Right. Yeah, I wish God just put me to sleep, change my heart, and do whatever, put the catheters in and change the valves and wake me up. And how you feel? I'm doing a lot better. You know, I'm feeling stronger today than I was. He doesn't do that. Circumcision of the heart is a painful thing too. But if you do it right, you don't have to do it, but. And Ishmael, you see, was part of that uncircumcised generation. And so Ishmael gets circumcised like the same day, and he was 13. Both of these, this old man and this boy, will never forget the day they were circumcised. But there was another little boy named Isaac, and they circumcised him when he was 8 days old. And he'll go through the same pain, and he'll go through the same crying, and he'll go through the same suffering, and he'll feel everything the other ones felt, but he said, I don't remember that. Don't remember that. So what I'm trying to teach you is the younger we circumcise ourselves in the Lord, when you come to God and say, I'm cutting off the world, I'm cutting off the flesh, I'm cutting off the things of the world, I'm Xing you out of my inbox, I'm taking you off my call list, I don't want you calling me, you the one that's dragging me down, I'm away from everybody that influences me in a wrong way, and you cut them off. You won't hardly remember them later. But as long as you keep, well, call me sometime. And when you get low, you calling them. It's painful. It's a slow, it's the death of a thousand cuts, they say. Am I helping anybody? So that the New Testament is not the circumcision of the literal flesh, but of the heart. Coming to God early in life will spare you. It spared me, and it can spare your children of participating in things that are hard to quit and hard to get over, and the pain of the past, and on and on and on we could go. And here we find ourselves in a situation that Paul mentioned where he says, I know that there's no good thing in me, inside of me. And I know that I want that, but I don't know how to stop that. And so what happens is God has a way of helping you painfully. Because nobody likes pain. Nobody. People that inflict themselves with pain, there's a name. Is it sadistic? Is that it? No, it's something else, huh? Whatever. There's a name for that. People hurt themselves. So God says that since it's painful anyway to want what you can't have, I'm going to begin to operate. And I'm going to use no anesthesia. I've often told people, if you want to live for God, you wouldn't want heart surgery done just a little whack at a time, would you? You want to do the thing and get it over with. Living for God is the same way. Get in this thing. And for the most part, the operation of God is this invasive procedure that the Lord uses on us. And I don't mean anything by this when I say it, but God knows how to use negative reinforcement. Most people today in that you listen to psychiatrists, they always want you to raise your kid with positive reinforcement. The book doesn't operate that way. It doesn't operate that way in the beginning. He uses later you positive works, but in the negative he uses negative reinforcement to get his point across. He'll let you know that what you're doing is hurting you, and it's better that you let him operate. But the nice thing about the negative reinforcement that God used, he cuts and he comforts. It's palliative treatment, they call it. He cuts and he, you know, I don't know how many whippings I got. My mama whipped me too. She's here. And when she said, Daddy's coming home, I let your daddy deal with that. Well, let me tell you, he came home. It didn't matter how small I was, I wanted to fight him. You know, bend over. I even put plates back there. That's the truth. You can ask her. Little saucers, you know, thought they wouldn't see that. I promise you. Sorry. And so, but Daddy would say, now look, I'll make a deal with you. If you won't fight me, I won't whip you as hard. I'm going to get a whipping anyway, right? So the best thing was not to fight him. And so the same thing is true with living for God. If you don't fight him, you won't pay quite the penalty as you do as if you fight him. Every one of us needs perfecting. None of us are going to wake up and be a perfect saint. We're going to have to be perfected. And again, back to what I said, those that he loves, the Bible says he chastens. I've never seen chastening be a positive thing, have you? It's a negative thing. He chastens those that he loves to bring them into correction. So that I didn't want to do that anymore because I didn't want the negative. Giving me candy to keep me from doing it wasn't going to work. The way God operates is that he tries to give you a chance to change your mind. Because if he can change the way you think, he'll change the way you operate, right? And sometimes when God is operating, you almost have to lose your mind to change your mind. Many times people come to God, I almost lost my mind. That's what made you change your mind. And so there's a lot less painful when we humble ourselves and not be resistant to the operation of the hand of God. The Lord told Saul that it is hard to kick against the pricks. All the kicking is what you do. I have the pricks there, but if you don't kick, you won't get pricked. And so those pricks are not there to hurt us. They're there to keep us in line. And many times people try to live for God and they keep kicking and they keep fighting and they're wondering, why my life isn't right and why am I going through this and why? You're kicking. You're kicking. The Bible says that God is the potter and we are the clay, right? So he molds us and makes us after our own will. No, he molds us and makes us after his own will. The problem with the clay is it's resistant. And so he puts pressure on the clay to overcome the resistance. So that with the old song that we sing, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. I am you are the potter and I am the clay. So we have to learn not to kick against the prick. We have to let him mold me and make me into what he wants to make me into. I never asked God to make me a preacher. Never. I don't think I even preached a message till I was 30 years old or over. It wasn't something I desired, but I always prayed, God, mold me and make me into whatever you want me to be. And here's where I find myself today. And I'm glad that I didn't kick against it because I've heard so many stories of people say, I ran from God. I'm like, why? I hid from God. Why? And, you know, you can go to Nineveh by a whale or a boat. The choice is yours. But you're going to get there. You're going to Nineveh whether you like it or not. So you can go by whale or boat, whatever you choose. One's a whole lot easier. He could have drank Diet Coke on the way to that. But no, he's drinking seaweed and he's in the pit for 3 nights and 3 days and burped out on the dry land. He got there. You can get there too. But let's enjoy the ride and don't kick against the will of God. Hallelujah. As they come tonight, this text says that many times people are past feeling. And the way you get past feeling is the Bible talks about their conscience are seared with a hot iron. Now you ever cook steaks? I'm not a good grill guy, but the people that can really cook good steaks, they take a fresh piece of meat and they first, before they put it on the flame, they sear it to close up the outside. And what that does, it keeps everything on the inside. And people that get their conscience seared, they keep everything on the inside. They don't open up to God. They never release to God. They never say, God, I'm sorry. Their conscience are seared so that they can continue to do wrong and I don't feel it. A lot of times people, when they first come to God, especially, they're so sensitive. Lord, I was so sensitive. I remember when I was 10 years old, I got the Holy Ghost. Can I share this with y'all? I'm serious. If I burped, I repented. I didn't want to lose what I got. Now, I don't repent when I burp, but something happened. But people, when you first come to God, you're so sensitive. And then you do something, you're like, well, I still got the Holy Ghost, so I'm going to go. And then they keep doing it, and they keep doing it, and they override it, and they override it till before long. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Never was anything wrong with that. I just thought there was something wrong with it. But, Lord, when you was close to God, it would have brought tears down. Now it's like you start justifying it. Well, I don't see nothing wrong with that. I don't know why we believe that all those years. My. I'm glad I still feel it. I'm glad I still feel it. Hallelujah. We all make mistakes. Me too. I make mistakes. But I'm glad I still feel something saying, you better repent. Don't override that. The problem with resisting, and I'm going to close, is that when we get in a bind, we all have been, we look for a quick way out to solve the problem. And that is the time you're the most vulnerable to make a mistake. And when you're vulnerable is the time to be sober and be vigilant when you're vulnerable. Because what's going to happen when you get vulnerable, you start fighting all the devils of your past. When you should be vigilant, when you're vulnerable, if you're not careful, you start fighting all the devils of your past. Because they was there and they know where you're weak at. So that when Israel got into the wilderness, they trusted God to walk across the Red Sea, but they didn't trust Him for water and food. They wanted to go back. When you're vulnerable, there's a time that you start reaching for relief from the pain, and you reach for the wrong thing, and you start fighting the devils of your past. And the devil is busy today. He's busy. He's like the Bible says, a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And when you're vulnerable, he starts off offering you things that you once said no to. And now you got trouble saying no. I remember, and some people would know the person. I won't say the name, but this guy had been on drugs for a long time. And he found the Lord. And when I found him, he had already found the Lord. And I'd heard about his past and I heard all this. But he was so nice and he treated me so good. And I just was like, wow, he's a nice guy. About 4 years later, trouble came to his life. Bad trouble. He called me as he's coming down the interstate one day. He said, I need to come see you. I said, come on. So he come to the house. And he told me about his troubles. I said, brother, I knew he was slipping. And I said, we need to pray. So he knelt down in my bed in my living room. And I knelt down with him. And he started weeping and he started crying. And he stopped. And he looked at me and said, I know how to fix this. I knew exactly what he meant. I said, brother, I'm going to tell you something. If you do that one more time, you'll never get out of it. And he started crying again. He said, I'm tired of prison. I'm tired of the chains. I'm tired of people hitting me with their fist. And he cried. But guess what he did? He got up from there and went out and he started reaching for the things of the past when he got in a bind. When you're vulnerable, is when you got to be vigilant and you got to be sober and stand your ground. Hallelujah. Lest you go back and say, well, it was they were beating me back there in Egypt, but it's better than this. He died. You know. Don't kick against the pricks. It is a mechanism that God puts there for your own good. For your own good. I remember as a preacher and your pastor, I always want to be sensitive to every one of you's needs. Because if I'm not, what happens, I've been in this a long time, and if we're not careful, and thank God I'm not that way. Pray for me, I never get this way. But if we're not careful, what happens is, we get like skilled surgeons. Preachers can get like skilled surgeons and pastors and evangelists. You heard so many complaints. You know, surgeons, doctors, sometimes they say, that guy's got the personality of a fish. You gave it to him. Yeah. He wasn't like that when he got out of school. I'll never forget the first surgery I did on a patient. I did some periodontal surgery. I won't get the gory details, but I was doing my job, you know. And when I closed that patient up that day and I sent him home, I'm like, I hope they're all right. I better call them and check on them. I was hurting with them. Hey, y'all doing okay? Yeah, oh, we appreciate you calling. That was so good. Next day, call him and make sure he's okay. I just hurt with him. But if we're not careful, we get to where we're insensitive and we're numb and we're like, we have anesthesia and we're not sensitive to your need and your need and your need. We're just surgeons. Lord, what good is preaching without compassion? What good was Christ without compassion? Hallelujah. Let's don't become insensitive. The Bible teaches about if you see your brother in need, and you have, he said, don't close up your bowels of mercy. I'll take it away from you. We've got to be sensitive to each other's needs. Would you stand tonight? And I believe you are. I'm not getting on anybody. I believe that you are. But just remember, we're alive. We're all alive. We're all subject to pain. We're all subject to falling. But Lord, the Bible says those that are strong, help the weak. Strengthen the hands. Lift up those weak hands. Strengthen the knees of those that are weak. Because one day, it may be you. It may be you. As they sing tonight, right where you're at, say, God, open up my senses, Lord. Let me be more sensitive.